Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. Here's a humble request to give a follow on Instagram at Walk and Talk Show. Please and thank you. Chefs and food buyers, try Aussie Select's fully cooked, pasture-raised Australian lamb. Enjoy flavors like agave rosemary, tikka masala, and more. Available sliced or whole, discover this incredible product at AussieSelect.com. Okay, so today we're diving into the culinary world with the incredible Chef Paul Gaskins. Born in Los Angeles and rooted in the vibrant flavors of Louisiana, which is piled under snow right now, Chef Paul embodies Southern cuisine, where dishes like gumbo and jambalaya are family traditions. A proud summa cum laude graduate of Johnson & Wales University, Chef Paul's journey spans from New Orleans to Las Vegas. His impressive resume includes stints with Marriott and the Patina Group, where he showcased his culinary talent at events like the Emmys and Governor's Ball. Now as the executive chef at the Inn of Celebration in Orlando, Florida, Chef Paul has mastered cooking while navigating a hotel renovation, and it was a big one too, I've seen it. With a keen eye for detail and a passion for innovation, he has overseen a remodel that redefines culinary excellence. Today we'll explore what it's like to bring a culinary vision to life amidst construction, menu planning, and team dynamics, inspired by his worldly travels and support of his lovely wife. Chef Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Man, you know, look, here's the deal. First of all, your cooking chops are off the wall. It was good. Amazing. I mean that sincerely too, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You had a helper today. I don't want to forget Chef Jesse over here.
Chef Jesse's my right hand.
I don't want to, don't think you were getting left out, baby. You know what I mean? Okay. Let's talk about the dishes. You did 2 dishes today. Spectacular. Talk about it.
First dish that I did was a spinoff of a classic Benedict. Basically, I took the lamb. We had a tomato harissa bacon jam on top of a pumpernickel toast with a poached egg, arugula, a little bit of a homemade hollandaise sauce, and then topped with a slice of a Fresno chili. Underneath all that was the wonderful lamb that you provided for us. So that was wonderful. That cured lamb pastrami was amazing. Believe me, that's going to the hotel.
I heard that. You're going to tell me twice. You hear that, Jackie?
And the second dish was our chicken karage, which is currently on our menu right now. It's a corn milk puree is the base. And we take that corn, fresh corn, and we steep it in the ears themselves in milk. We take the meat off the the ear or the elote, whichever version you want to call it. And then we steep that with the wonderful flavors of chicken stock and some, you know, garlic, salt, pepper, and some herbs, of course. That's the base. And then we top that with a zucchini muffin that we make from scratch. And then on top of that, we have karaage chicken, Japanese chicken. And we kind of spin it. We pound out a chicken breast and then fry it up, finish it up, top it. And then on top of that is salsa criolla, which is a very popular dish down in Peru. Basically, it's peppers and onions with aye pepper. And we jazz it up when we put a little Fresno chili, so it has a little bite to it.
Yeah, but it wasn't too much bite.
No, not at all. I prefer the bite to be at the end, not in the beginning.
Is that currently on the menu?
That second dish is currently on the menu. The first dish, once I get that lamb in the door, we're on board.
If you put that dish on the menu, mm-hmm. is it going to look the same way? Is it going to be the same portion size?
It would look very similar. The only difference is I probably would just add a little more potatoes to it, like a side to it. The concept of what we're thinking about is do a five Benedict kind of station set up on the menu. So that would be one of the Benedicts that I'll be doing, but I'm going to add about four Benedicts. We currently do brunch 7 days a week, 7 to 2, depending on which day it is, 7 to 3 on weekends, of course. And Benedict's is one of those top sellers. So
you can call me Benny from now on. Because you know what? If you start slapping these things on the menu, you rest assured that I'm going to
There'll be about five of them on there. We'll do some, and every single one of them will be different.
Pronounce the name again of the chicken.
Chicken karaage.
Karaage.
Yes.
What makes it a karaage?
It's the breading. Basically, the breading and the seasoning and the breading. Japanese chicken is traditionally, it's very plain and simple. We just add a lot of flavor to that. So we have a flour mix that we make in-house, and it has about 10 different spices and flavors to it. So I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give no too much away.
No, don't give it away too much. Although, I mean, we shot film of this thing, of this wonderful dish.
True.
And so everyone's going to see it.
Understood that.
Okay. Let's not get it twisted here. People are going to see this.
I want them to come to the restaurant.
Okay. All right. Because they're not going to make it at home.
Okay. I get that. Yeah. Come to the hotel, come to the restaurant.
Let me be more specific. I'm not going to make it at home. So, you know, you believe I'll be there for that.
I understand.
When you say four or five, is there going to be a station specifically for this?
Correct. That's the thought process. I'm going to try to build a station that's just.
I'm the type of guy, when I go out to eat and there are eggs Benedict on the menu, I get them. I just do. I'm into the hollandaise sauce. And not everyone puts out the same sort of traditional hollandaise sauce.
Correct.
And I don't know how I feel about that. Because when I go out and I crave that, that's what I want. Well, now, with that said, you try some of these different ones that they put out there. It's a whole new experience. And the flavor profiles and the layers, you know, all the tag lines of food description, they're all there. And then you say to yourself, you know what? I just expanded my mind.
There you go.
Culinarily speaking, expanded my mind.
The goal with our menu is to intrigue the guests to come, try one dish, come back and try another dish, come back and then, hey, there's something new. There's something different. So that's our plan and that's our goal.
I saw the renovation happening at the property. We met as the renovation was starting. It was like in its infancy.
Yes.
I've seen renovations before. There's a lot of challenges. It's not easy. And the entire staff, everybody's, you know, nobody likes it. Nobody likes it. What role did you play in this renovation?
Being one of the leaders in the hotel community there, I would say that just keeping people motivated and keeping people busy, giving them tasks. Yes, you might have half the hotel under renovation, but at the same time, if you keep people informed of what's going on and what's happening, as rooms were being released back to us, as areas of the hotel were being released, I take my staff, hey, look, this is new and upcoming. This is what's going to be. And this is our home away from home.
It's 2025. How are we motivating staff right now?
You work right along with them. You put your hands in there and you get just as dirty. You put the gloves on and you cook right along with them.
There are no more ivory tower leadership roles, I'm guessing, right? You do have to be like, you know, in the trench with your teammates.
Yes, you have to be in the trenches with your teammate. But at the same time, I think if you keep them informed, it goes a long, long way. You can get people to buy into what you're selling.
You're talking about Louisiana. You're talking about LA. And to bring those together in some kind of culinary form is tricky. How are you taking your experiences into the hotel now?
The thought process is the fusion. There's a lot of fusion there. So LA, you got fresh flavors. You got obviously like avocado movements and things of that sort. And then Louisiana is very homey, very, very down earth.
The produce bread basket is California.
Yes, okay? That's true.
And Arizona. Chefs that I've worked with over the years, when they come to Florida and they're like, oh my God, what is this? And I like, look, this isn't like where you're from, where you can go outside and there's a farm and you go pick it and you know, the sun's out. This isn't here. And this is not that. This is Florida.
Farm to table. I understand.
Yeah, it's a whole different deal. But you're also like salads versus grits. You know what I mean? Louisiana, there is no, can I get a light anything? Can I have a vinaigrette? No, you're going to get, here's some ranch. You know what I mean? This is what you're going to get. How are you threading the needle there?
With every dish, we try to always create something that has a fresh element to it. And then something that really, really is kind of homey. We have a shrimp and grit dish in the hotel, but it has a kind of a fresh element, the sauce. And not only that, but we make, I would say 90% of our stuff in-house. I try not to buy, I mean, it's fresh produce. We are fabricating this stuff on our own. We're not trying to preserve food all day long or anything of that sort.
I'm going to get you something and you're going to freak out. They're soft shell crawfish already taken out. They come that way. I love it. I never had crawfish in my life. I am now a believer and I'm connected now with the company that does it. And Boudin too. I don't know where that's been my whole life.
Absolutely right. That's New Orleans all day. You talk about crawfish.
Are these things that you were eating?
Oh, I eat crawfish. Oh, yeah.
And Boudin too?
And Boudin, yeah, I eat Boudin. The thing about the crawfish, I grew up where, you know, you rip it off the back end and not to gross anyone out, but you kind of suck on the head there. So it's something different.
I can appreciate that. I don't do that. But you know, I'm Italian, my heritage, my family, my grandparents came from over there and they did things like that. I don't eat tripe. Like there's a lot of stuff I stay away from, you know, that's one of them.
Okay.
That is absolutely one of them, but I will eat the tail all day long, man. The rest of it, you can count me in.
I got you.
100% count me in. So when was the last time you were over there?
Last time in New Orleans is about a year, a little over a year now. A little over a year since I've been back to New Orleans.
My buddy's out there, our buddy, Pooch Rivera. He's a chef in the area. He's, you know, Walk and Talk, contributor. Good dude. And he's sending me pictures of this, you know, like 8 inches of snow everywhere. And I'm like, man, you know what? I'd love to be there with my kid. I like to think my children have not seen snow yet.
You might just need to go up to Pensacola right now.
That's all I got to do. It's only a couple hours up the road. Yeah, a few hours up the road. But I'm not going to do that in a way. Johnson and Wales. How do you, I mean, summa cum laude, man. That's a big deal.
You know, when I was going to college, I had already done.
You're
going to
come off with some humble thing, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I started in the military. So I was a prior Air Force right out of high school. Did 4 years in the military. And during that stint, I met a gentleman that was a chef in San Francisco, and he was an inspiration to me. And that inspiration led me to Johnson & Wales. He was a graduate of the one in Rhode Island, and he was doing amazing things in San Francisco at the time. It inspired me so much that I just said, okay, I've done my service to the country at this point, and I want to go venture off into something I want to do. So that took me to Johnson & Wales, and Charleston, South Carolina is where I ended up.
I've not been to that campus, but I did go, I did a food show one time a million years ago at the Rhode Island campus.
The Rhode Island campus.
That place is beautiful.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a cathedral.
Yeah, it's on the campus of Old, they share campus with Old Dominion. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. People are always nice. They're always nice. Every time I've gone up there, it's always been walking down the street, people say hello and are general.
It's a tiny little town. There's a hotel and I can't remember what it's called, but there's a clock tower with a bell.
Yeah.
And we were in that hotel and it was just really cool. I felt like I was in another time, just 100 years ago or something like that. I don't know.
You know, people say celebration is a lot like that, where it's like going back in time and the people are genuine, and it's a small town, you know, where the hotel is. It's one of a kind. So to come visit us is you'll see it. It's a different environment. It's a different environment there.
The Inn at Celebration, it's a really pretty hotel. It fits the area. You know, there's food everywhere. It's a foodie little city. How long have you actually been over there?
I've been there almost 4 years now.
I don't want to pass by this summa cum laude thing. That's probably so special for you. How many people were in your class? Or was it just you? And then that's why.
No, well, I mean, that would be easy.
I'm a winner. I did
it. No, our class was probably about 200 to 300 people.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Has that done anything for you in your career?
During my career, I thought doing so well in school, being summa cum laude, I can pick my internship. We had to do a 6 months internship somewhere else. My thought was, man, I'm going to go to Arizona, Camelback, one of these, you know, nice golf course resorts and just really, you know, knock it out of the park, or Palm Springs and back to California or something of that sort. I ended up in Traverse City, Michigan in the dead of winter. And I thought, and I had to drive up here too, in a little Honda Accord there at the time. And I had to drive there in the dead of winter. And I'm thinking, why? Oh, I had friends that weren't, that didn't do as well in school as I did. And I thought, why am I going up to Traverse City, Michigan? I don't know nobody up here. I have no idea. It's on the border of Michigan and Canada almost, basically. I spit and there's Canada.
It's not cold there at all.
No, it's not cold there at all.
No. How old were you?
At the time, I was about 26.
Okay.
So, but going up to Traverse City was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. I had two instructors when I was in going through Johnson & Wales. One was a French instructor and my Italian teacher. And they both had recommended me to go to Traverse City. There just happened to be a chef up there that was very, very instrumental in shaping my career.
So they weren't looking for you to find glitz and glory.
Correct.
They were looking for you to learn and learn under somebody who knows what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. That.
All right. So that makes sense. I was going to make fun of you a lot with this, but I'm not going to, because you can't ask for better guidance and direction than something in this case.
Sometimes it's not up to you. It's, you know, it could be up to others.
You've worked all over from New Orleans to Vegas. What are some of the coolest culinary experiences that you've had along the way?
Besides the Emmys and things of that sort, working in Vegas. Vegas was very interesting. I worked at a small hotel. It was my second executive chef position at the time. And it was a very small hotel. And I got to learn how to be the boss and be in charge and be responsible for everything. But it was right across from the convention center in Vegas. So we would get slammed there every single day. And I had to figure out how to manage with minimum staff, how to manage my time, how to do finances and things of the sort. So that was another place that really shaped my career. New Orleans was awesome. New Orleans was different because of its home in some aspects. I have family there, of course, but it was also home in the sense of I was comfortable with the cuisine there. I was comfortable with the city, but I also got the chance to really work fine dining there. So New Orleans allowed me to do fine dining.
Pooch doesn't, you know, lose the opportunity ever to explain to me how New Orleans is one of the oldest culinary cities in the country, and where cocktails were invented, and, you know, just there's so many check marks of cool things that have to do with food that come out of New Orleans.
Definitely. Definitely.
It's not just Boudin and, you know,
jambalaya and gumbo.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, those are homie foods that really do well.
Supposedly, we're getting king cakes shipped up over here. We had some folks on last year before Mardi Gras and everything, mm-hmm. that, you know, we were talking about king cakes. I've never had one. So Pooch is going to be shipping some, and I can't wait for that.
Just don't get the baby.
That's what they said, yeah.
Or the king, but the baby. Jesse gets the baby every year.
That's crazy stuff. Go ahead and explain that real quick. Yeah, I'm not going to do it justice. Explain that.
So tradition is January 6th is All King's Day. So January 6th in different parts of the world, we do king cake. And what basically what we do, we end up taking the cake and we cut it. Before we cut it in different pieces, each person has to agree that whoever gets the baby that's stuffed in the cake already, it's already kind of built into it, would have to do a party. And it's usually around right before or right after, usually right before Mardi Gras. So typically tamales is a big thing for that time, or some kind of providing a party for others. So you don't want that baby.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird, I don't want to say weird.
It's a weird tradition.
It's an interesting tradition that I don't understand, not in any capacity, but I love the way these king cakes look. And I just want to get into all that. So what'll end up happening is I'm going to eat the king cake probably by myself. Okay. And it isn't going to matter. Okay. And I'm going to be like, no, there was no baby here. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Do you make king cakes?
No, I don't.
You dirty.
Okay. No, I don't. All right. That's a lot of work.
I guess it would be, right? It's all baking.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not a baker, huh?
I can dabble. Not my expertise, or do I favor that? No. I prefer to cook homey food.
You're just a savory kind of guy. And
exactly.
I get you. I understand.
I know what sugar is supposed to taste like, though. So.
You know what? I'm 220 pounds. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I'm 30 pounds up, okay, from starting Walk and Talk. I'm 30 pounds. I know what sugar tastes like, too. I'm just saying. All right, so you're doing all these different things. You're flying all over the world. You're learning new experiences. You're mentoring under great. By the way, who was your mentor?
He's no longer with us. He passed away. His name was Chef William. Funny thing, his last name is Mentor.
So you're doing all of these different things. You're learning, you're growing, you're traveling around the country, you're traveling outside of the country. Today, the Inn, Celebration Orlando, people don't understand what it takes for a hotel to be gutted, rooms, kitchen, dining room, common areas, and still remain open. People don't get it. With your experiences, how did that really help you get through this renovation?
I think more than anything, it just keeps you grounded. Your experiences keep you grounded. And if, as a leader of men, leader of women, leader of team, out of anybody needs to be grounded, you need to be grounded. You need to always keep hope, faith that everything will come out, and it'll come out. That optimistic kind of personality, it goes a long ways. If I'm optimistic, my team will be optimistic. The hotel will be optimistic that, yeah, we're going to get through this. It's a matter of time. Unfortunately, time doesn't stop for anyone. So
So basically you're taking positive energies, experiences, you're putting them together, and basically people feel that and they go, okay, I'm going to subscribe to this and I'm going to follow suit.
Correct.
People, think about a kitchen renovation in your house and how your whole life stops, or think about a bathroom renovation, your whole life stops. And when you, and that's one room or two rooms. Think about a 200 or a 300 room hotel. Think about, you know, a kitchen that's, you know, 5,000 square feet with walk-in coolers and ovens and new equipment coming out and new equipment coming in, but you still have half a hotel open. So you have to still, you know, provide services to the guests. I think it's fascinating. I think it's something where it's a trapeze artist act of some sort. You know, there's a big tent and a, you know, somebody leading lions around the tent. I don't know, something like that.
If you ask me, chefs run off adrenaline, and that's our junkie. We're junkie, adrenaline junkies in that sense. So challenges, multitasking, things of that sort, we run off those things. Those are the things that excite us and makes us want to go do what we do.
I can appreciate that. So I was never back at the house. I was always front of the house. If it's slow, well, first of all, if it's a slow night anywhere, nobody's motivated and people are in the restaurant and there's, you know, three tables and somehow your food took 35 minutes to come out and you're like, how does this even happen? There's nobody here. How come? Because nobody wants to do anything. Nobody's there. There's no adrenaline. There's no kick. And it's just like you get lost. It happens to the best of everyone. I fall under that category too. I am a mirror of the people who I am with. And if you guys are just knuckle dragging, you know, whatever, then I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna take a nap. That's where I live with this.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. But if you want to go hell raise, man, let's go. What is a governor's ball?
So technically, the Emmys, there's two parts to it. So you have the Emmys with all, obviously all the celebrities and all that hoopla that goes along with that. The governor's ball consists of the back of the house staff. That's your camera crew, everyone who's put it together. So your stage directors and everyone else. So you actually make food for them.
You glazed by this before, earlier in our conversation. And the reason I'm bringing up, hey, what is the governor's ball? Is because you were working the Emmys. That's cool. How do you even get that gig?
It just worked out that way that I was.
Where were you working when you got that? I want to know about this Emmys thing, man, because that to me, that seems like that's not an easy thing to fall into.
So I was working under Joachim. He's a famous chef that owned the Patina Group at the time. I mean, I don't believe he owns it anymore. He kind of sold up and went about his way. So at the time I worked under him and he would come every year. He would come to our restaurant every single year. And this was in Disney Springs in California. Their version of Disney Springs, basically. And there was three restaurants there. We were money making. We were doing killer things at, you know, Disney. He would come every year and he would say, hey, chef, I want you and I want you. You pick 15 guys and you're going to do the appetizers for the Emmys. You're going to do this for the governor's ball. So, and then after that, you're going to plate up 3,000 plates for all the attendees and things of that sort. So it was an honor. And it was exciting. And then it, just like that adrenaline conversation we had a couple of minutes ago. Yeah, that gets you hyped up.
You get to meet the celebs too, or no?
I met a few. So you served David Bowie. I remember that one for sure. David Bowie, he wanted some paella one time. So he came by and I was able to service him some paella.
When you get into the business, you don't think about that. You don't think about, oh man, I'm going to serve, you know, David Bowie. You know, more along the lines like, oh, I'm going to, you know, serve the early bird special folks that come in because that's, you know, that's kind of where you start off typically. But when you start getting into like celebrity stuff, celebrity cooking and, you know, all of that like energy and excitement, that's where I'd kind of want to be.
You know, it's funny you say that because earlier in my career, I had a chance to do a lot of versions of like media and things of that sort. But I had a chef that told me once before, just two kind of chefs. There's the glamour chef and then there's the family chef. At the time, I had a young son, so I chose the family. So I chose family over the glamour.
I think today there's a lot of that. The industry has changed a lot, you know, post COVID and everything. Right. It's not perfect, but it's changed. I think that in most cases, the establishments are giving a little bit more. Maybe not with money. Maybe sometimes with money, but they're a little bit more lenient, I think, with expectations. Maybe it's not corporate, but the generals, the chefs and the F&Bs and, you know, the GMs, I think they are bearing the brunt of that. You know, they're going to buffer it. In other words.
Understood. Yeah. I would agree with that. Definitely agree with that.
Yeah. It's a good, so listen, folks, it's a good time to get back to the business. Okay, because there are still shortages on personnel.
Oh, most definitely. Please apply. We're looking for all positions, anything from a cook to dishwasher. Hey, if you don't want to work in the kitchen, we have other positions in the hotel, so it's there.
Are you yourself big on mentoring?
Definitely. I've mentored in my career as being an executive chef. I've probably promoted at least, I would say, 10 to 12 sous chefs.
That left you. Eventually.
And some have gone bigger and better than I have, which is great.
That's the best.
That's legacy, basically, in a sense.
100%. I always wanted, it'll never happen, but I always wanted to do a, you know, to pick like a city and then, and log the culinary lineage, meaning, you know, find the oldest, baddest restaurant that's in that town. See who that chef is. And how that chef got there, who trained that chef and who trained that chef and the one before. Bah, 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 bah. I want to go back 100 years because I'm sure it's going to go back that far.
Oh, most definitely.
Right.
Most definitely.
And I think that would make an awesome documentary. So if there's anybody out there, listen, you got the, you know, just put me in the credits on a good idea and make it happen.
That sounds good.
Peru, Greece, Turkey. Ham and cheese. No, you know, Turkey, Greece, Peru. You've been around. Cuisine. What's your favorite?
I have to be honest with you.
Don't you dare lie to me.
Okay, oh, no lying. Turkey.
Yeah.
When I first met my wife, one of the shows that got us going was Amazing Race. And Istanbul is the bridge city between Asia and Europe. So it's always been a lifelong dream to go to Istanbul. And I made that happen with my wife. Obviously, we took some family with us, but we made it happen. And the cuisine was just amazing. It was just totally amazing.
That's a major clash of culture.
And very much so.
And yeah, and with that, you're bound to find so many, you know, hidden nuggets.
On both sides of that river, the Bosphorus. On both sides, you find it.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, these days, I don't really feel much like traveling. Like, I don't have the travel bug like a lot of people do. But there are a few places that I would want to go to. Turkey is one of them for me. These like micro cultures that, you know, like this little town here, or village or whatever is going to have that specific thing. But if you go 30 miles that way, they're separated. But it's going to be something totally different.
And Turkey was just that.
That's exciting to me. Well, that said, I feel like getting on a plane, man. That's just too much like work.
16 hours, I think, something like that.
Yeah. See, like I'm not down for that. I mean, I went to Hawaii and it was like 9 or 12 or whatever it was hours. This is too much. Like, I would not be a pioneer. I would never be one of these people who like, oh yeah, we're going to go and
no Lewis and Clark.
No, man. No, I'm like, all right. I was born by this rock. I'm going to just stay here. I'm good here, man. Like, your wife.
Yes.
Backbone.
Backbone. Yeah. To what I do. Yes. Yes. She's always been the biggest support to me, whether bouncing ideas off of just someone to come home and talk to and love me unconditionally, basically, in a sense.
Is she a foodie?
She is.
When you met, was she a foodie?
Yes, she was. So us getting together and, you know, being that couple, it just made it even better. So she's made my career so much more.
John, you know, these jet fighter chefs, man, they get all the chicks. It's the truth. Growing up, it was always like, oh, I can cook a little bit. And then, you know, all the women are like, oh, fawning over the, you know, I know it's another story. How long have you been married?
12 years.
12 years. All right. That's an eternity for a chef.
Yes, because chefs have a reputation of not being so committed to something.
It just always happens, though. The relationships implode because it's a demanding job.
You need somebody who understands what you do.
Well, I'm bringing that up because, like, it sounds like you met somebody that can embrace that. What kind of work was she in when you all met?
When I first met my wife, she was a front of house manager.
Oh, so you were that was like the forbidden fruit there. You weren't supposed to be doing that.
I would say yes. If I can plead the fifth,
fraternizing. I would
plead the fifth. But
yeah, no fraternizing, man. Okay. You know what? Those relationships last forever. Yeah, those relationships are the best ones. They last forever.
That's true. That's
not true. Wow. Front of the house. Look at that. You went to the dark side too, man. Like for front of the house. Right. At home, 12 years. What are you cooking? By the way, what is your wife's name?
Adriana,
I just want to thank you personally, you know, for allowing Chef to make it out here today and to do all of this wonderful content. I just want to give you a big shout out from Walk and Talk Media. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sincerely. What are you making at home? What does she love?
You know, my wife is such a foodie. She's always on Instagram. She's always looking for the latest little buzz thing. So any new dish that she sees on Instagram, oh, you got to make that for me. So I'm always cooking.
But does she do it like she shows, she looks at a picture, she goes, look how they made it.
I do get that version of it. I definitely get that version of it. But, you know, I tweak food. So I'm big on fusion,
Chef, I might be sending you pictures like that too. I might be like, oh man, I gotta send this over to Chef Paul and see if he's gonna, what he can do with this. You might be getting those pics from me now.
I understood.
But we're gonna keep it relegated to food. Don't worry. The menu at the inn, it's a new menu. Tell me about what the inspiration for the menu is. Is it global? Is it homey, hometown, local?
So we have a mark for the hotel. Our mark is basically based off of our olive trees. They're like the staple. We have two olive trees in the back of the, on one of the patios there. So it's one of the marks for the hotel. So that's just one of the things that we need to represent. That being said, olive oil is universal in a lot of ways, but it is very much Mediterranean. So I've incorporated in the menu a lot of Mediterranean cuisine, or at least influences with colors and the vibrance and the freshness of product and produce and things of that sort. And then a little bit of the Louisiana influence. And then a little bit of other cultures. Like I went to Peru, and in Peru, ceviche is huge.
I mean, Peruvian food is amazing.
It's truly amazing. Yes. So I incorporated some of those. And one of the dish today, one of the sauces that was one with the chicken karagi, the ahi paste that I use is a Peruvian item.
The fish, the level of culinary with fish, seafood, in for coming out of Peru is awesome.
Just, yeah.
So if you're going to take, all right, so you're taking Peruvian, elements of Peruvian food and Mediterranean. I mean, I feel like you're living your best life.
I'm enjoying it. You know, going to work every day, my team, I enjoy my team every day. I enjoy the challenges of work every day. And then every 3 months, 2 months, 3 months or something, I'm looking at dishes constantly, but every 2 or 3 months we change. We're looking for the next thing to bring you through the door, basically.
And we are here for you on that. And what I mean by that is, obviously, you see what we do here at the studio.
Definitely, yeah.
You see what John does. Oh, specifically John. Like me, you know, I'm the connector networker guy, right? And I could run a camera. But what this cat does is on another level. The idea is when you're doing your menu changes, come.
I want to come back, definitely.
Yes. You can even bring Jesse. He was well-behaved, just saying. you know, let me give a shout out to you, man, because I said this to you earlier today. If it wasn't for Jesse, you wouldn't be here today and we would never be talking.
True.
Right?
That's definitely true.
We walked in the door. It was me and a buddy. Hey, chef around. Jesse comes over. He's like, well, chef's kind of busy. He's out doing his thing. He goes, well, what's up? What can I help you with? And I was like, well, you know, Walk and Talk Media, podcast, food, yada, yada. And he entertained. He didn't throw us out. You were a gentleman and so polite, where I've been thrown out of a lot of kitchens in my time. And you were just amazing. And I just want to thank you for that, because we get, for people like you with your demeanor and how you handle yourself, we get to meet a lot of amazing individuals in this world of culinary. So, you know, it would be wrong of me to be like, come here, get out of here, Jesse. No, it's like, I appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Jess.
Yeah. How does someone find you, and how does somebody find the property?
On Open Table, you can definitely make reservations, but through the end of celebration, there's a website, and in the website, you'll find the restaurant. It's Lakeside Kitchen and Bar. And then you can definitely reach out. My name is there. Chef Jesse's name is there. You can reach out to any of us. You let us know you're coming through the door. We will come to your table and we will greet you with wholeheartedly smiles. And hopefully you will leave with that same smile.
That's awesome. But what about you? You just started your social media.
Yeah, my wife is big in social media, of course. But
they all are.
Yeah.
They all are.
So she started a page for me. So chef.paulg. And that's basically my tag in a sense. So I just started a social media page for myself with the help of my wife, of course. And I'll be posting. I'll start being more active and posting more things to it.
All right. One more time again. What's your Instagram?
Chef, C-H-E-F dot Paul G. That's me.
Excellent. Man, thank you for coming in today, both of you. I am looking forward to what we can do together. And I feel like it's going to be a lot.
Hey, the future is there.
Right? And there's a handful of other super chefs that we work with that we're going to do things. I want to do some events at your place, set them up, and we promote them. It's going to be really great. Yeah. And we can do some Louisiana-based stuff, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, man. We got to connect, so I'm just telling you.
I'll make you some gumbo.
Oh, stop it. Don't you? Okay, let's go. John, as always, man, you're freaking awesome. I appreciate you. Pooch baby out there, I know you're going to hear this and you're going to want to get involved in this New Orleans thing. So, all right. Thank you kindly. Jesse, you're awesome. We are out.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.